Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Spinning the Reel. I'm your host, Evan.
I'm your host, Zach.
It's-a me, Cody.
He's back again.
2 weeks in a row.
Amazing.
You like that, right?
Aren't we all
so
happy?
That was brilliant. That was brilliant.
That was great, Cody. I think you could have gone with more of a Waluigi effect, but
maybe.
Save it for the sequel.
I definitely look more like a Waluigi. That's for damn sure.
Not Wario.
I guess Wario. Yeah, it looked like Wario.
There you go. You know, the last few years have been tough. He looks a little more like Wario now.
Is there a Mario game like Mario Party or something where Wario plays basketball?
I'm not sure. I'm sure there's
is
a mini
game. Sports
game
they
like...
haven't done for Mario is basketball.
Yeah, maybe not even them at the Olympics. Huh? There's no
there's
basketball in the real Olympics, but not in the Sonic Mario Olympics.
Stupid
I think
Mario
that's right.
Soccer.
Why haven't we got a 2K Mario?
That's what we need, really. Like, just put Mario in 2K, like they put the Ted Lasso characters into FIFA.
All right, this podcast.
Oh, that's pretty sick, actually.
This podcast has just become a petition to start a Mario 2K game.
That's right.
Forget about talking.
Anyone
about
Anyone hasn't figured it out? We are talking about the Super Mario Bros. Movie today.
Which one? 1990s, right? That one.
You know, I'm sure there's a lot to be said, and there's a lot that has been said about that movie, but we're talking about the new one that has just come out in the last couple weeks here. And then, Cody, back in your traditional role as Game Master, you have brought us a game.
I have. It's called Level Up. Level Up, Level Up.
And then, Zach, what are we finishing off with?
Dungeons & Dragons.
All right.
Do we have enough time in the podcast
quite
to play it?
Quite a themed episode.
This is some real nerd shit that we're talking about on this episode.
We do host a podcast.
I'm going to play Tetris off to the side.
No, we're not talking about Tetris today, Cody.
No, I'm just going to play Tetris off to the side.
We should talk about Marvel Snap, actually.
Yes, this has become a Marvel Snap podcast.
It's consumed my life.
Cody's ready to move on.
Now, if anything should consume your life, it's this podcast because of how great it is with such
great people.
Says
the guy
people.
That's on it for the second consecutive week for the first time in a year.
I'm sure our numbers are way up, okay?
They're pretty consistent, actually.
Thank you to all four of you. They're going to go.
We're like, you know, we can Theranos this up a bit where we've got consistent numbers.
Yeah, but people are probably tweeting now and all this shit and going, Cody's back. And the numbers are just, they're going to show.
Yeah, I haven't seen those tweets, but I'm sure they're out there. Elon's probably surprised.
Cody's on Twitter searching his own name.
All right. Let's dive right in.
All right, guys, we are going to start today with a very big movie, one that's been highly anticipated for a while. That is Illumination's Super Mario Bros. Movie. Cody, what is the Super Mario Bros. Movie?
Wow. Plot description. You're excited for this plot description.
I'm excited for this plot description.
Mario is a hardworking plumbing with his brother Luigi. They get sucked and drawn into some pipes underneath their city there in Brooklyn. And bam, they're in some magical world with a lot of toads and some Koopas. And then it just becomes a classic Mario adventure, except instead of saving Peach, you know, he's saving his own brother since they get like separated. Bowser's there. Donkey Kong's there. Get a little Rainbow Road action in the middle. And, you know, it's a classic Mario adventure. Never played a Mario game before? Hit me up. I'll make sure you can play Mario game, and then I'll be like, that's the movie.
You're offering to buy people Mario games that they've never played?
I'm not offering to buy Mario games. I'll figure out a way to, like, I'll just show them a YouTube video and be like, that's the movie. show them, like, a level. Like, this is level one.
Yeah, don't go to the movie. Just watch
something
on YouTube that emulates the movie.
Question for Zach next is, what do you think of that review? Or that plot description.
It was about as incoherent as the movie.
Second question, do you want to address the fact that Mario and Luigi canonically live in Brooklyn now?
I mean, I don't know that much about like the stereotypes of Brooklynites, but I do, you know, like Mario as a depressed middle-aged man. Like,
it seems fitting for him, with me, you know, like
for Zach or for Mario.
Definitely fits the Chris Pratt vibe.
Also, like
Cody, I won't answer that question.
Also, like, I mean, I guess we're diving right in, but like, it's so funny that his dad criticizes him for like quitting his day job to chase a dream, and the dream is Mario Brothers plumbing.
I will say that there are some genuinely funny things in this movie. Like there are...
And then he tells him that he's bringing down his little brother Luigi by dragging him.
Zach, what are your
into
general
it?
Impressions of it?
Oh
buddy?
Man, I abhorred it. I strongly dislike the Mario.
You want to elaborate on that?
Well, as I said, the plot is basically nonsense. Like, it's just beat after beat of Mario references and Easter eggs and, like, you know, allusions to what they're going to do in the future with this franchise. And it makes the characters and the dialogue, like, completely nonsensical, which
that's,
you might
say
like, this
movie,
is a kid's
Zach,
movie.
Is a better
fine,
way to say
whatever.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And so it just, I found the whole experience aggravating. Like, it's not something that holds my attention or is interesting to me. The YouTube breakdown of this movie will be more interesting than the movie itself.
Like, Cody, do you agree with this take?
I 100% disagree with Zach. 100% disagree with Zach. Zach, do you even have fun in life, bro? Like, do you sit down and enjoy like playing a video game?
The background.
No.
Like, this is a joke
right.
Only for us.
This is it's beautiful that it's full of Easter eggs. I don't give a shit actually anymore. We can get into it that Chris Pratt was the voice. I actually like all of the voice casting for the most part of this movie. I don't think it hindered it at whatsoever. I know there's a lot of backlash when it first, like, you know, Chris Pratt was gonna be Mario, and I was one of those. And was it perfect? No, but it was like definitely family fun. Like, it was. I loved all the Easter eggs. I love all that stuff, the adventure aspect of the whole thing. And this movie was fun. It was definitely better than I anticipated. And for that, kudos to Illumination. I'm not here for doom and gloom, guys. Okay. We need to have some fun.
I'm going to say something very rare here. And that is, I agree with Cody to an extent.
Oh my God.
I think that, well, I also agree with Zach. The movie is bad. That part, let's just get out of the way. But I think that there's been so much heat, at least what I've seen in reviews and online, around the fact that this movie is so heavy on Easter eggs and little cameos and just, you know, peek in the corner and you see the Duck Hunt like picture in the restaurant that they're at the beginning, or they spend like a minute doing a Mario Kart, like build your own kart selection screen thing.
Fucking awesome.
And I think that's fine. You know, if people want that, like, whatever, I don't care. But if you're going to do it at the expense of plot, that's the problem. So, Cody, I think you're right that it's fun that there are these Easter eggs that if people care about them, they can find.
Why was there no plot to this movie? There was obviously Bowser trying to marry Princess Peach.
But that was it. Like, why was Mario involved? Because Luigi ended up.
Mario
just
wants
like,
to be a hero. Okay.
Does he? He wants to be a plumber. Like, none of this thing makes any sense. It's pretty ridiculous. I disagree pretty strongly about the voice cast, you know, in parts.
Why? Who was bad? It was funny.
I think Chris Pratt as Mario was just patently ridiculous, and I will never get past that. Like, it is just bad. I mean, he is doing a Chris Pratt voice for Mario, and it's stupid. I think Anya Taylor-Joy, I love Anya Taylor-Joy. I think she's a great actress. I think she was the wrong voice for Peach. It just didn't feel like it fit for me.
She was a badass.
Did like Seth Rogen
she wasn't,
as Donkey Kong.
She wasn't a damsel in distress. She became a badass.
You're just jealous, Evan,
because she was able to fucking beat the level on her first try with her first power up. And I bet you're at level one on the very first Mario game you've ever played, and you don't even know how to figure it out to get to level two. You're just upset.
And wouldn't this
about,
movie like, have been wish fulfillment for me, Cody?
You're just upset about that? It. You're just upset about it, and so now you're taking it off.
Dude, Cody's just going Mario,
projecting
right now,
quite a
dude.
Bit, I think, but that's okay.
So I am an Anya Taylor-Joy fan. I like her in pretty much everything I've seen her in besides this. I just cannot shake the feeling that it, to me, hearing this vocal performance,
it sounds
like she could not give less of a shit in the booth. Like it feels so phoned in. And I think that is not necessarily 100% down to her choices, but also like the editing and just for what we can call a screenplay, I guess, for this movie, because there's so many scenes where characters will have a conflict and then the conflict is resolved in one line of dialogue. Like one of the most egregious examples is they know that the whatever the Shadow Realm that Bowser's from, they're invading the Mushroom Kingdom. And Peach has to go and try to recruit the Donkey Kong army. And so she's taking this perilous journey on her own. And Toad is like, all the other Toads are evacuating from Mushroom Kingdom. She's like, Toad, you got to go with them. Like, you know, you're a Toad. Go be with the other Toads. This is too dangerous. And he's like, no, I said I would always protect you. And she's like, all right, let's go. It's literally just, there's so much resolve like that. And then another one too that really, really bothered me was this trial that you're talking about, Cody, where she passed a level on her first try. Mario takes 1,000 tries and he doesn't do it. And in the morning, she's like, all right, let's go. And he's like,
That's wishful thinking.
Yeah, Mario himself is like, I failed. And
who
the Peach is like, it doesn't matter. Like, he can still come.
There's nothing wrong with some wishful thinking.
There's just there's so many plot beats like
that.
So,
Cody, give your full-throated defense of this movie.
I don't know why the voice acting was so bad. We all know Jack Black's going to fucking win a fucking Oscar for, like, Song of the Year, dude. Like,
For Peaches,
dude. I'm telling you, dude, it's going to win. It is going to win. Jack Black went full Jack Black on this movie.
It's garbage, but I hope he gets nominated so he dresses up as Bowser and performs it on the Oscar stage.
The only way it's getting nominated is if they bring back the fan interaction categories.
Then you had like nostalgia, so puts a smile on your face. Then you have this little creepy blue star dude who's just like, that's Zach in a nutshell
The star was funny. The star was
yeah,
good.
Exactly. I knew Zach would love that character. He's got a little fucking frowny face behind it right now on his little screen. Zach.
Cody, that is like a fucking Spider-Man No Way Home ass review of this movie. Like, it's what the fans wanted.
You guys are like being way too hard on something that's just meant to like bring back that nostalgic feel. It's like a Pokemon movie for us. If it was like, you know, Mario was like the 90s thing.
Pikachu,
Mario was before the 90s. I'm just saying we had a lot of Mario. Why do you have to have a great
such a weak defense? Like, yeah, by admitting that this is something that isn't supposed to be like respected and
it's
only supposed to be enjoyed for what it is. Like, turn your brain off and just enjoy, you know, the memories from your childhood and this Easter egg and that Easter egg. Okay, if you can do that and that's something that you enjoy, fine. But that is a tacit admission that this is a soulless studio like blockbuster that's what they want, right? They don't care about the underlying intellectual property. They just know that it's popular and then they can, you know, recoup their investment. I think this made like 3 times its budget at least. Already, and projections
movies?
Are probably even
like
more than that.
Well, let's get into that.
You just hate Illumination.
I like Despicable Me, the first one. I thought that was like a lot of fun, and I liked, you know, I liked that movie.
What was
fine,
the plot of?
But everything else after that, they just kind of like.
I want to know what the whole plot
we're gonna have
was
a Despicable Me episode
like,
instead of Mario.
I don't get why you think there's no plot to this movie. It's an hour and a half runtime. It's meant for kids. Supposed to be short, and it's the foundation.
I mean, I'm not saying that it's no. I'm not saying that it's no plot. In fact, it's all plot. That's this entire movie is going from one moment to the next, and it's stuffed to the brim with these, you know, with references and nostalgia, like you said, that's all present. And like little, you know, just trying to have like a joke every 3 seconds and something to brain candy or something that, you know, is supposed to keep you engaged, but not really like with any sort of character development or growth. It's more just like, you know, digital and visual junk food from what you're seeing.
Yeah, Cody,
I want
to address something you said earlier too, and that is like the idea that this is a kids movie, so like let's just treat it as a kids movie and enjoy it for that. But like, look at last year, you had Turning Red, you had Pinocchio. Year before that, you have The Mitchells versus the Machines, you have Luca. Like every year there are kids movies that are like targeted at children, but that are actually good. The Into the Spider-Verse is another example, right? Like these movies that are made for a younger audience or made for kids and that are actually good, that they actually develop characters, they actually develop a plot, they actually have an interest in making a movie beyond making the beginning of a franchise. And I think that you can always say that a movie's made for a kid, but like that doesn't excuse it from being good. And I think this movie is clearly targeted at children, much in the way that all the Illumination movies are targeted at children. But that doesn't excuse them for like not being well-made movies. And I mean, we're not here
this
to
movie
discuss
is very
whether
well
or not.
Made. Did you see the animation? Animation fucking rules.
It looks like shit.
It fucking rules.
I mean, all the Illumination
no,
movies,
it fucking
in my
rules.
Opinion, look like shit. And this movie looks like garbage.
This movie does not
look
like garbage.
All these characters are like hollow 3D nonsense. And there's like no care or heart put into like the way they're designed. It's just like the typical Illumination style. And I don't.
This is where we get canceled. This is where we get canceled.
I think it's fine. I think it's fine. I think the design, the animation is fine for the movie. Like I didn't think it looked like terrible or anything like that. I do agree that, you know, Illumination itself has a style and it's certainly hollow in a lot of respects, but I wasn't like upset about the animation choices. All right, Cody, I wonder though, like you say that, you know, this is a kid's movie, but like, would you say that about Wolfwalkers? Something like you connected with emotionally,
and
which
really
is also
probably directed
cartoons
at younger children.
Like, yeah, I mean, without a doubt, right? The central character is like a young adolescent girl. Both the protagonists in the film, and like that is such an emotionally rich story and beautifully hand drawn animation. Like, would you chalk that up to just being a kids movie too? Like, there are there
Cody
are levels
knows all
in
about
which
levels.
You can engage with. Yeah, right. You know, there are levels with which you can engage in how you develop your story, even if it is aimed at children or is marketed for children.
I think
children.
You guys have lost.
And
your,
I think, that,
I think you guys
just,
have lost
it's,
your childhood
it's a
fun.
Pretty
I
weak
think
defense.
You guys have grown to be very adequate adults at this point. Nice strapping.
Adequate.
Yes, adequate. I'm going to use the word adequate. You've grown to be men, and you know, I'm still a boy at heart. Mario's got it. All right. Yes, maybe it's a little fast-paced to where there is a lack of plot. I'm not saying this movie's great. I just said it's good and it's a fun time, okay?
I did think it was funny in parts. Like, I think Donkey Kong's whole character is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Just the way he's, like, showboating around or whatever.
Like,
I
was the doom and gloom that you guys are both at right now, like, as you're talking at me. And that was definitely when I saw like the previews and stuff. Don't get me wrong. I was like, oh man, this is going to suck. Like, it's just going to suck. And I do not think it sucked. I do not think the animation was bad. I do not think the voice casting was that horrible, like to what it could have been. I think some of it was actually really good voice casting and would be really.
I think if you just got the original actors to do it, like voice actors.
But
from
why?
The game,
you always bring up
better.
The, oh, well, we don't have to. You bring up the whole Disney thing all the time. Like, oh, we don't have to remake it. We don't have to remake it. So why do we have to bring in the same voice casters for something such as this and say, oh, well, let's just remake it? Because
I think when we do this, right, it's not
point.
That like, I mean,
point.
Okay, I think the broader point is, do we need to make Mario into a movie? Probably not. But if you're going to do it, right, like,
and why do you have to do it?
Build
the same
out
people?
These characters true to who they've existed to be. And they actually got the guy that does Mario and Luigi's voice to be in the movie, to play his dad and like
to be
the
dad.
Uncle or cousin or whatever that was at the shop too. And like, whatever, that's fine. But the problem is all of these movies have to appeal beyond just like a core video game audience or like whatever. So they have to get star power attached to it. And that's why Chris Pratt ends up being the voice of Mario, even though nobody wants Chris Pratt to be the voice of Mario.
But I feel like
there's like
nobody cares.
Chris Pratt fan base out there, you know?
That's so crazy to me too, though, because I think, like, you know, most of the people who've grown up with Mario are our age or older and who have kids, like, even if there wasn't a stunt cast, they would take their kids to see this movie because, like, Cody's made, you know, the strong argument that, that it's completely filled with nostalgia, which it is. And, you know, there's references to the old Mario games, or references to, like, the latest Mario games, which have all been, you know, widely positively accepted. So I don't think that's necessarily something that you even needed to do for this. That's just like Illumination's way.
It's not just,
and even in that, even in the case where, like, they are stunt casting,
it's
like,
all animation now. Is
I mean,
like,
no,
we
it's
have
not.
To have
it is not
star cast, and like actual voice actors are kind of getting pushed aside because people want to have like Steve Buscemi be in their like animated movie because people know who that is and know what he sounds like.
Sure. I mean, he was a great choice for Randall, though. Like,
and maybe
that's not a stunt cast.
It,
I don't think.
Yeah,
you
sure.
Know what I mean?
But like, you know, just like famous people being in these movies, they don't need to be, but people want it. Yeah, you know.
See, like, I don't know. I think I have a little more leniency towards Pixar because and it does feel, and maybe, you know, not to knock on voice actors and the talent that they bring to a table, but like, Pixar feels a little
but I
more
think they
prestigious
started
the world of animation. So something like what Illumination does feels like the Valentine's Day of movies. You know what I mean? Like, where it's just like, that's what it feels like, rather than something like, you know, you have John Goodman and Billy Crystal and Steve Buscemi all in the same cast. Like, there's
maybe
a difference.
Monsters
there
isn't the best example because that's
can,
the one that
like,
had like Billy Crystal
right
and John Goodman and, but anyway,
they were veritable stars
the
in their
Monsters
time. You know what
out,
I mean? Like,
Billy Crystal was not like a world renowned star in high
okay.
demand or whatever.
All right, yeah. So you, I'm sure that you probably never even seen.
But,
City
you know, I have seen The Princess Bride, so
I just.
Miracle Max, safe to assume
that as the brothers of this podcast, as my brothers, that if we ever got transported into some magical pipe, that you didn't have the heart after watching that movie to be like, you know what? I need to save my brother. I need to be the hero my brother wants me to be. We need to start a banging podcast business. Let's get it done.
Right.
That's one of my other gripes with this movie, though, is that Luigi is so...
And Charlie
Day
gives it his all.
Like, he's not very present.
Yeah.
Now we're giving compliments.
Yeah, he's great as Luigi.
Now
I
we're backtracking a little bit, Evan. Now we're backtracking.
That would be he's probably my favorite in the movie.
Jack Black.
And so
maybe
Jack
Black
steals
the show, guys.
Jack Black as Bowser is just fine. Like, I don't think
Jack Black.
I don't even think he's like all that interesting of a villain in the context of the story either.
Yeah,
like,
we went
it's.
For it. You appreciate
sure.
it.
He played a song on a piano. But I think more to the point is that, like, we've talked kind of on and off about Illumination, and it does feel like the distinction between Pixar and Illumination, as we were just talking about Pixar as well, like, Pixar does go to great length to create story and character and then build around that, whereas Illumination just feels like, let's just give people what they want. Let's just give them the most movie. Let's give them the Minions as much as possible. And it's just like, it's exhausting. I mean, I missed a bunch of their movies. I didn't see The Secret Life of Pets. I haven't seen any of the Despicable Me's except for the first one. And then, you know, I went and saw Minions, The Rise of Gru. And my God, what a disaster that movie is. And then this movie, you go in and it's like, it's the Minions, The Rise of Gru, but with Mario characters. And it's just like, this is exhausting and we don't need it.
Yeah, some really
bizarre choices
in this one.
Music choices. I'll give you that one. I was like, I don't know if this song works here, but.
You didn't like I Need a Hero popping up there?
There were a lot of needle drops. I don't even remember any of them.
I'm not going to convince you guys. You're not going to convince me.
What, Cody?
Huh?
What was your favorite sequence in the movie?
Star, dude. I don't know. Shit was
like Lumiere or something like it.
Why is it not a sequence?
That's not really like a swaying. Sequence, though. Like, yeah, that's just like.
And that's like Rosalina Starr, so you know she's going to show up at some point in a future one.
Yeah, yeah.
That was just, I like the comedy aspect of it, like when Peaches came out. You know, I made a joke.
You like Rainbow Road?
Rainbow Road was cool. I don't know.
Rainbow Road was cool. I did like Rainbow Road. I thought it was really dumb, though. It kind of like, the logic of the film fell in on itself at that point where the whole reason they're going to Kong Country is to get the Kong army. And then, yeah, Cranky Kong is like, hey, I know a shortcut back to Mushroom Kingdom. And somehow there's like omniscient spies for both sides that know all this stuff. And then Bowser's like, oh, they're trying to cut me off. I'll take my shortcut to go get intercept them. And then the entire Kong army is made like useless. They're all kidnapped into Bowser's ship, which is like, would they have even made a difference if they got back to Mushroom Kingdom then? Because how's he just going to dispatch them effortlessly, essentially?
The whole thing's ridiculous. It's really just set up to show you different like Mario sequences that you know from games and things like that. But I don't know. I still think it was funny enough in parts to like not be a total disaster. But again, I'm not an Illumination guy. I think those movies all look bad. I think this one, they had sort of the Mario characters more as a guide, and it did look sort of true to the games or whatever, but I don't know. Ugly movie, bad plotting. I didn't care for this one.
So I'm curious, though, because I feel like off the top you said you agree with Cody, but I've heard nothing.
The part I agree with Cody on is that
if you like Mario nostalgia, then it's like,
yeah, like if you
want to
hit on the nostalgia, that's fine. I think there's lots of movies that have good Easter eggs or whatever, and like and we're going to talk about one in a minute here, Dungeons and Dragons, that you were mentioning to me before, Zach, and we'll talk about it again, that movie is enhanced by the fact that you know about how Dungeons and Dragons works. But this movie, like, it's not really enhanced by the fact that you know what happens in Mario games or you know other Nintendo systems and things like that. It's just entirely about that. So like, I don't think it's bad to have the Easter eggs, and I think it's fun for people like us that grew up with Mario to be able to see like, oh, that's cool, that's like that person or that thing. But you can't build an entire movie around it. So where I agree with Cody is it's fine to have those things and it's fun to have them, but it's not the basis of a movie.
Can't wait for this franchise to kick off. In that case, you should watch our last week's episode.
Great synergy, Cody.
Watch last week's?
Turn that crowd upside down, Zach and Evan. We're going to get into some good stuff here right after this Letterbox Roundup. I don't know if I should...
Zach, you want to... Cody, go ahead.
No, I don't
want to
start
rolling.
Because you guys are going to just go...
Yeah, I mean, should we go? We can go lowest.
Well, you should
highest.
Definitely go
I'll
first.
We're
going
much,
lowest to highest. Well, how do you know I'm?
Yeah,
like,
that's
lower
what I mean. So
you could have. You could have.
Cody, we all know. We all know.
I'm sure you doubled the amount of stars I've given this, and which is two whole stars.
Wahoo!
For the Super Mario Bros. Movie.
I have given this movie 2.5 stars. Not good.
If we were playing Mario Party right now, I would definitely win. I would have 3 stars, and you both just lost.
That's it?
Yeah, I gave it 3. I didn't. You guys just seemed like you bashed on it so much. Maybe I seemed like I like loved it so much.
Cody's
it was
just a contrarian.
It was just, I liked it.
Yeah, I thought you had a lot more fun.
I don't know, dude. Yeah.
Maybe you should have watched it in
40X. I
would have
changed everything. Are you guys ready for game time? Because the Game
Always.
Master has created a game that will be so chaotic that you won't even know what's going on, but you're going to have fun in the process.
That describes most of your games, Cody, except for the fun in the process part.
Oh, shoot. My game's called Level Up, guys. All right. So I have a bunch of...
Let me get out like a legal notepad to write down all the rules to this game.
All right. I will give you... a quick 10 bullet point summary. I will explain
10 bullet points.
Setup. Just the setup, not the game itself. There's a setup. I have a list of movies. They're all video game related to some extent, whether they're based off a franchise itself, if they just basically, I don't know, ooze video games, whatever. It's all centered around that stuff, and I'll give hints or whatever. And what you got to do is level up by guessing the movie and then either taking the movie for yourself because you think it's a higher rating than the movie previously provided, or giving it to the person next to you. In this case, look to your right or left, and it's just Evan. I don't know. Just look at the camera. There's no one to the right or left. You were not in the same room. We don't do this anymore in the same room. And then you just take it, and then we'll go for like 8 movies, and then whoever has the highest rated movie of these video games is the winner.
So the question I have is,
oh God,
is there like
questions.
A baseline movie that we're trying to get higher or lower than?
No, there's not a baseline movie. You're just trying to get to the highest level movie, higher than the person. Like, you're just trying to get higher than Zach.
Marvel Snap has prepared me for this.
Whoever gets the first movie wants to keep it, right? Because
I'm just going
to
start you. I'll have to start you at a star. I will just start you at a star. I'll start you at like 2. So all these movies are technically higher than 2. And then they go up to, obviously, all the way. So, yes, Essence, you want to take the first movie so that you get on the board, but.
But you're only holding one at the end, right? So you're just trying to have the highest one.
You're trying to have the highest one.
Okay.
All right. And that's it.
All right. So we're both starting at 2 stars. Here we go.
Both starting at 2 stars.
Let's go.
My first movie. And then you just chime in with your name as your buzzer. This first movie, it stars none other than The Rock.
Stars The Rock, and it's a video game movie.
It is.
Morbius. Kiwi. Morbius.
No.
Okay. No. That's the name, right?
I was chiming in with Kiwi.
No,
I know what it is.
Cody's Honor.
Cody,
I do too. I also know what it is.
Cody, you're the determining factor. So one of us shouted Morbius, and the other shouted Kiwi. Those are our buzzers. Whose buzzer did you hear first?
Morbius. I heard
Rampage. Rampage is the movie.
Oh, that is correct.
Rampage is indeed the movie. So you can either start by taking the movie, Zach, or you could just pass it off to Evan now. It's up to you.
I'll keep it, I guess.
You have to, right? Because apparently they're all technically higher than 2 stars.
Yeah.
All right. The next movie has none other than Pac-Man himself on the title of the movie, like the movie poster.
Kiwi.
Go ahead, Kiwi.
That movie is Pixels.
It is Pixels. Would you like to take
I'll have to keep Pixels. It. Same deal.
You can pass it to Zach.
This is
you have the option to pass
what
it
is
to Zach.
No, but if they're all higher than 2 stars, I will automatically get more from keeping it.
Yeah. Now you just have to determine what's better, Pixels
now,
or Rampage.
Now the game begins.
Yes.
Now, you're right. Now the game truly does begin. All right. Evan and Zach, Kiwi and Morbius. Wait, I'm Kiwi. This is bullshit.
I know, I'm stealing.
Yeah.
It.
It's been a real diesel.
All right. I like it. This movie, I believe, this movie has a flying ship in it. This movie also has an adventure for gold in it. This movie stars none other than Tom Holland.
Kiwi.
Morbius.
Kiwi.
That is Uncharted.
Yeah.
It is. Would you like to keep your current movie of
You
Pixels?
Know, I'm
going to
keep it just because I think the Tom Holland fans have boosted the rating of this terrible movie.
So you want to keep Uncharted, right?
I do.
I feel like the syllable of K is a little bit faster to say than the M syllable.
And whose fault is that for picking a terrible call sign?
Oh, shit. All right. You guys ready to continue?
Yeah.
All right. This is a huge Blizzard franchise game.
Morbius.
Oh wow.
I think I know what it is too, but
Morbius. This is Warcraft.
You are absolutely correct, sir. Would you like to keep your movie of Rampage?
Oof, this is tough. This is the tough part because I knew that instantly. But oh man. Okay. I'm gonna take Warcraft.
I think that's smart. There's like a cult following to that movie, so I think there are people that really like it.
I feel like that's like at least a 2.5, where like Rampage is probably like a 2-3, 2-1, yeah, or something.
I mean, I'm thinking the same thing with Uncharted. I'm sitting then probably 2-3.
All right. Are you guys ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Evan Kiwi has sworn after last week, he's like, please never bring this movie up again. And he mentioned it just last week.
Did I really?
Zach also is tired of certain character always dying in these movies, and he did happen to die in this movie as well. This movie has to deal with a lot of fighting with ninjas.
Kiwi?
Morbius.
I heard
God damn it, I swear
Kiwi.
Every time it's Kiwi.
Plus Mortal Kombat?
It's literally like,
Kiwi
yeah. Oh,
has
man.
Taken the movie. It is indeed Mortal Kombat.
Oh, Zach, you can have Mortal Kombat. <That's>, that movie is atrocious.
Okay, so that means it kicks out Warcraft, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Evan
okay, so
handed,
that knocks off Warcraft, so now I'm holding Mortal Kombat. Okay.
You are holding Mortal Kombat.
I think you're underrating it, man. A lot of people love that movie.
Literally one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
There's a lot of enthusiasts, much like Cody is a Mario enthusiast. There's a lot of Mortal Kombat enthusiasts.
All right, this next movie is one that you would just not want sand in your pants. You definitely don't want the sand in your pants. This movie also has the opportunity to rewind time to get the sand out of your pants.
Morbius.
Ooh, Morbius.
That is Prince of Persia.
Oh!
And
I didn't even know that was a game.
That is all yours, Evan.
I did not even know that was a game.
You can have Prince of Persia.
It stars Jake.
That might be one of the most reviled video game movies.
But that means that it gets a sarcastic 5-star rating, so...
Not even Gyllenhaal can save that one.
All right.
Genuinely no clue that was a game.
This next movie is built for speed.
It's Morbius.
Morbius.
Sonic?
It is indeed Sonic.
I'll take it.
I thought you were going to say that Aaron Paul Need for Speed movie.
That would be a good one. That would be a good one.
It's on my list. But I didn't go there.
This next movie's built for speed. All right. This is Sonic 1, right? So I'm definitely keeping Sonic 1.
Yes, to be fair, Sonic, really.
To be fair, it's Sonic 1. All right. This next movie also stars The Rock.
It's another rock star.
It is an adaptation of a movie of already game made previously, found in an attic.
Kiwi. So this is Jumanji, the next level.
You got it, buddy.
But that's not a video
that's
game.
That's not a video game.
Actually, I mean, there is a Jumanji video game, but it's based on the movie.
It's based on the movie.
Okay, I'm keeping that for sure.
God damn it.
That's a beloved film.
God damn it. All right.
Evan gets that. All right. This next one has starring Ryan Reynolds.
Kiwi.
Oh my god.
Go ahead.
Detective Pikachu.
You are
is that
correct.
It
is.
Oh, okay. I thought it was gonna be Free Guy.
Yeah. Well,
no, that's a fake video game.
All right. So this is
so is Jumanji.
All right. So it is Pokemon Detective
Pikachu. I think people actually like that movie other than Zach.
All right. You could keep it, man. You could keep it. All right. Here we go. This movie.
How many more are there?
We can stop whenever you want. I'll do.
What?
I have a long list. I'll go three more. We're going three more.
All right.
And that's it.
Yeah, this mix next... some bad ones in there. I got to knock off Detective Pikachu.
what's your movie at this point, Zach?
Sonic.
Okay. We got
I think
a
they're pretty close.
Here.
I think they're pretty close, yeah.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. This movie is a fake movie starring Ryan Reynolds.
Kiwi.
Kiwi.
Free Guy.
Yeah, you got it.
You've got to be joking. You've got to be joking.
I don't even know. Like, that movie, some people liked, but it was terrible. Can I just even, like, throw it away? Is that allowed?
Nope. You have to pass or take.
Oh, do people like that better than... No, I'm going to give that one to Zach.
All right.
All right. Zach takes Free Guy. All right.
Two more.
This movie... I want to get this right, so I do have to actually Google this really fast. All right, this movie stars Jeff Bridges.
That's a different show. Morbius.
All right, Morbius, finally got your name in there.
Yeah. Okay, so this is Tron Legacy, and I'm gonna take it.
Is it Tron Legacy or is it Tron?
He's not in Tron.
Jeff Bridges is in Tron.
Is right.
Is he? He's in Tron Legacy. I don't know about Tron.
No, Jeff Bridges is the star of Tron, is he not?
Tron Legacy.
Anyway, the movie was Tron Legacy, Cody?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, the last one. This movie.
Wait, did you keep it or did you send it?
Yeah, I'm gonna keep it.
He kept
keep it.
Okay. All right.
That may have been the wrong choice, but I like Tron Legacy.
This movie is all about the Oasis.
Morbius.
Morbius.
This is Ready Player One.
It is Ready Player One.
Okay, I have to take that one too.
Okay, yeah, that's a tough one because it's a Spielberg and it's bad, but you know,
there's a lot of fans of it.
Okay, so I have Detective
this,
Pikachu.
Is that the end
you
of
have
the
Ready
game?
Player One.
Is that the end of the game?
That's it.
God damn it. Why, Cody, why were there no bad ones?
All the bad ones were at the beginning.
I know. I wanted to kick one too. That was
I
awful.
Just want to point out that Jeff Bridges is the star of the original Tron.
Oh, well. Tron Legacy is the much more relevant reference.
Sure, sure.
All right. You guys want to build some suspense?
Sure. I'm looking this up, so go ahead.
So Evan was like, oh, man, do I take Free Guy or not? So Evan passed off Free Guy to you, Zach.
Mm-hmm.
And Free Guy is a 3.2.
Okay,
Evan kept Pokemon Detective Pikachu at a 3.1.
Oh, no.
But Zach decided, I'm going to take Ready Player One.
Mm-hmm.
The bright side, Zach, for you, my friend, Morbius, is that is also a 3.2.
So I won by 0.1?
Yes.
I mean, I think that goes to show you that we were pretty close on the like actual star ratings we assumed.
I had to keep them close to where like, oh, do I keep that or not? So I was trying to make you like wonder if you
that's
had to
crazy,
keep
dude. I thought Detective Pikachu would be like a 3.3.
Yeah.
I did too, honestly. I thought, you know, the Pokemon fandom would have rallied around that.
What is Sonic?
Sonic is a 2.9.
Oh, what's the highest rated movie that you listed for us, Cody?
Out of the 3.2s, Free Guy and Ready Player One. I have a couple on here that I thought were too obvious, so I didn't really go with them, but I did put Wreck-It Ralph on here.
Yeah.
That would definitely be.
I technically put Dungeons and Dragons just to go with our whole theme. I did put the Mario movie if I wanted to go there. Dungeons and Dragons actually is the highest rated on the whole list. 3.7.
All right, guys, after that very fun game by Cody and the very disappointing game movie, which was Mario, we're going to talk about something on a little brighter note, hopefully. That is Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. Cody, what is this movie?
Oh man, dude, this movie is about like D&D. Like, all right, I just know that there's this red wizard and some money's stolen and his wife dies and then he's trying to make a life for himself and bring his wife back to life and then that doesn't go very well. And then there's this whole epic quest that partakes with all these bands of misfits that he brings into his crew, into his team. And tries to go find like this artifact and stuff, fight some dragons, you know, ends up in a graveyard amongst the undead, trying to find where this so-called relic is. And I don't know, just transpires from there. There's a little action, little, you know, 20 rolls for some good luck, maybe some critical. You know what? There was no critical fails. That's what I was disappointed with. No
There
critical
definitely
fails.
was.
Was there critical fails? Like critical fails? Like a one being rolled?
Yeah, I think the most common example would be when they're fighting in the alley and he's like stuck for a really long time. Like he can't cut his ropes. Like
That's true.
he's just trying to cut his ropes for such a long time while he's like beating the shit out of everyone.
Yeah. I guess the central character here, I didn't even mention names. I feel like I haven't been mentioning names at all, but it does star Chris Pine as our main character here. And
Edgin?
what's
Yeah,
that?
Cody, you didn't even mention Jonathan once, so shame on you.
Jonathan. My bad. My bad. And I don't know, man. It's Dungeons and Dragons. But the cool part is, I guess if you've never played Dungeons and
Me?
Dragons, you don't need to. Let's just put it that way.
No,
I'm
this
kidding.
movie have you played Dungeons and Dragons, Cody?
I have.
Oh,
I don't
nice.
think to
So
like the
much
full
fun.
extent of
And I've
like.
never even understood a moment of Dungeons and Dragons, and I thought this movie was such a blast.
What are your general thoughts, Evan? Okay,
I
yeah,
loved it. I thought it was really funny. We can get into like the actors and things like that, but I think Chris Pine is just like a charisma machine, and I think we learned that especially when we saw Don't Worry, Darling last year, a movie that was so fucking terrible, but Chris Pine like totally redeemed the moments in which he was in the movie. And I think that he's never really been given the chance to do this sort of like fun comedy, but still like hero role
Star
in a movie that's
Trek.
good. In a movie that's good. Like, I feel like,
Okay,
you know,
okay.
the Star Trek movies are, you know, they're
Come
niche.
on,
This
Chris
movie
Pine,
might be
John
niche too.
Cho.
John Cho is another great example of that kind of thing. But yeah, Chris Pine is just very charismatic and very fun and funny. And then you pair him in this movie with people like Hugh Grant, who is like the older version of Chris Pine, that is just like a charismatic, fun, funny guy. And he's perfected the villain role with Paddington 2, but he brings it back here for equally fun effect. Just again, even not knowing really anything about Dungeons and Dragons, except for that there are slimes that dissolve people. And I think I learned that from that Pixar movie.
About the mimics.
Well, what about Community, right? Like you've seen the Dungeons and Dragons episode of
So
Community.
I've seen it once, and that's because that movie is banned from like all platforms except Amazon. So I
Well,
was
there's
able to
the
find it the
season
one
five
time.
one too, though, with David
Oh,
Cross. Yeah.
the refresh of it. Regardless, I know very little about Dungeons and Dragons, but
It's
I think
irrelevant.
that's the beauty of this movie. It's made by
Yeah.
the same guys that made Game Night.
Classic.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how can that be a profitable deal for Frito-Lay?
Yeah. So
Great
good.
movie. I don't think it's on that level of like wittiness and just clever timing, but I think it's close. And I think as long as you have good writing, like you don't necessarily need familiarity with the source material, as long as the team creating this movie is committed to making something that is both entertaining and engaging and good. And I think that's what this movie is. Like, I had such a good time with this movie.
Yeah, that's definitely like the master flourish of this. Like, I think you just mentioned in the Mario segment too that like the movie's not enhanced by knowing these little Easter eggs and references, where in this movie it absolutely is. Someone who is not familiar with the mechanics of Dungeons and Dragons and the logistics and the lore of it can still watch this movie and just see like a little fun fantasy adventure, you know, with the classic tropes of characters and things like that, and it's a great time. But if you know D&D, there's like little things that you recognize, you know, insight checks and perception and, you know, critical failures, like you mentioned, Cody, and like nat 20s, it's all there if you're looking at it. And yeah. It definitely adds, there are some of my favorite moments too are like, cause I have watched, Dungeons and Dragons as like content, you know, like people playing Dungeons and Dragons. And so there are so many moments where the dungeon master, you know, the person trying to control the game and rein these like feral cats in to following the narrative that they've planned. That's such a perfect epitome of things going off the rails, not, you know, your party choosing to do something completely different. Like when just from the opening of the movie where he's giving this, he's giving
impassioned
this like,
speech.
Yeah. He's doing, like a charisma or like a persuasion check. And then
it works.
He succeeds. He's successful on his role, but then they're assuming that they aren't. So they have this backup plan to jump out the window, which was completely unnecessary because they approved his pardon. And now he's a fugitive again for the fact that he escaped. So
yeah, it's so funny.
There's a lot of moments like that.
There is a moment in towards the end when they're competing in some competition, right? A team competition. And one of the other teams consists of these characters from a Dungeons and Dragons animated series from like the 80s or 90s that was like severely underseen. And I saw an interview with the directors and they were saying like, oh yeah, like we included them. And the guy's like, I feel like I was one of like five people that caught that. And then they're like, no, like 20 million people in Brazil would know what that is. And sure enough, my girlfriend is from Brazil. And she's like, oh my God, those characters while we were watching the movie. There's like funny. So many little things that don't affect the plot of the movie or your enjoyment of the movie. But like you watch it and it enhances it. So, I mean, I think that's just very clever filmmaking. Cody, you haven't gotten to go yet. What did you think about Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah, I think this movie was definitely a surprise. Like, you know, I think for me, again, it's like you watch the previews and you're like, I don't know if they're going to pull this off. Like, you see Chris Pine and stuff and you're like, the cast looks cool, you know, and Hugh Grant, like we said, and all this stuff. And, you know, you just don't know what to expect. And then you're right. You go in and it's like chaotic. It goes so hard sometimes. And you're like, what the fuck's going on? But you're like, you know what? This is fun. Like, this is definitely entertaining and you enjoy yourself. And there is a lot of little things that if you know it, you could pick up on, like, you know, Zach's already mentioned a few. And then if you don't know it, like, who cares? Like, it does not impact. Like, it's so fun to like see the enjoyment that can happen from both sides of this movie, one way or the other, absolutely knowing nothing. Or if you are like a Dungeons and Dragons fan, and have played before, whatever, it's like picking up on those little like, tidbits. And it really feels like you're actually like, you know, if you've ever played, it's like you sit around in the room or whatever and you have your game going and stuff. And that's just really, it feels like how this game plays out or this movie plays out. Like it's, you know, a bunch of friends sitting at a table and whatnot. And even in all the humor and stuff that this movie like presents, it's even heartfelt at times, right? Like you get to the end of the movie and stuff and, you know, there's like just some heartfelt moments. You're like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, you know, so you get that. You know, for me, like I always mention, like the roller coaster of emotion, and I feel like you definitely don't miss out on that said roller coaster in this movie. And I enjoy stuff like that. So I wasn't too keen, like when I first, like, you know, right at my initial thoughts, I'm like, oh, this movie's pretty good. And then like you really think about it and you play back all these scenes in your head and all this stuff that you pick up on. You're like, you know, this movie actually it is like, wow, like they did a really good job. And then I just became actually to like it even more and more as I just actually thought about it after the fact. And I was like, all right, this movie actually was good and enjoyable. And I had a great time.
So Cody
actually
was saying, I saw 2 stars in the theater, 4 stars after.
But yeah, dude, it was so funny. There's just scenes in here. Like, I'll just start with like, it gets to like the cemetery scene and stuff. You're just like, oh my God, dude, was that a question? Yes.
That's like another, like one of those quirks. Like if you as like a dungeon master are not necessarily upset with your players, but like they're off the beaten path. They're like so far off, or they're doing something that you didn't plan for. And so you're just being a little bit pedantic about what they're doing. So there's like some crosstalk at the table where they're asking each other questions. And then you're like, yeah, that counts as a question or something like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
super funny.
Yeah, trying to guide them back to like where, you know, where they're supposed to be.
And like it was so specific about its rules, and like they have that what staff of summoning or whatever it was that were
the hither thither staff,
yeah. Which Justice Smith, you know, speaking of Detective Pikachu earlier, very funny in this movie. I think just an incredible cast all around. But you know, he's like, I can take us across this bridge because we need to, but like, oh, but I can't get us out there, and like the rules are very specific. But also very funny the way they're brought up. I really do think the performances in this movie are incredible. Like, I think Chris Pine is very funny in it. Justice Smith, of course, is fantastic. Hugh Grant, how can you not love Hugh Grant? Who was the woman that played like the disciple of the like Red Wizard?
That is Sophia Lillis. She's a druid.
Yeah, exactly. She's the druid, and she's very good too. Chloe Coleman, I think. Coleman's the daughter.
Yeah.
Daisy Head. There you go. Sophina, yeah. Just gives one of the most incredible like physical performances of just like looking sinister but also looking deeply annoyed with having to do all of this shit that like she's having to put up with. Incredible. And
yeah,
and
she really hates Hugh Grant,
and Hugh Grant makes himself into just such like a lovable and hateable character. Like he's just such a piece of shit.
I agree with what you said earlier, very much his Paddington 2 character. He's so funny.
Yeah, and he's kind of fallen into this role after being like the kind of 90s heartthrob character, and then now he's like become this like out of touch villain, and he's fantastic. I was having such a blast.
Bradley Cooper,
the cameo.
Very funny, so very funny.
Honestly, I'm surprised we haven't mentioned Roger Jean Page yet as Zank.
Fine. I thought he was fine.
He's so good. He's hilarious. Cause that's like, again, I mean, maybe it's just because I'm familiar with Dungeons and Dragons and the mechanics
maybe
of it, but like,
you're just a Bridgerton guy.
Well, no, I'm more of a Gray Man guy, but, he's just like the perfect encapsulation of like a slightly overpowered like NPC. He's got all the answers. He walks in a straight line, completely ignoring what's in front of him. And the way he speaks is like so pragmatic. Like he doesn't.
Yeah,
he's not a man of many words. Just hilarious. Like I thought the sequence that he's a part of was just really funny. He's like this like perfect fantasy hero that exists in this world, and then
they understood his character, and that like he only needed to be in the movie for a certain amount of time. They understand that like this character is funny and entertaining for like maybe like a quarter of the movie, a little less, but anything more than that and it gets to be too much. And I think again it was like perfectly placed within the film.
Yeah, that's the thing too, is like you want the game to be challenging for your players, but not so much that they're all going to die. You don't want to have them all die. You want to bring them to like the brink of death and have them have this, you know, triumphant moment. So introducing someone like Zank to help them for a short period of time to get them from point A to point B is like, again, it's just one of those touches that really reminds you of playing the actual game, and how if you took a campaign that a group of people played together and adapted it for the screen, this feels so true to that. Like that's one of the best parts.
A bunch of self-interested people, like, you know, messing around. Very, very funny. I enjoyed it a lot. Cody, what do you think?
Yeah, I think this is definitely a crowd pleaser. I think, like I said, it was a shock. Like, I think, I don't know how many people, you know, maybe thought like I did in terms of.
I wasn't
of, like,
expecting much going
on. Yeah, exactly. And I think now that they've probably seen it, it's like, oh man, like, you know, like the way we're talking about it, where it's like, if you really reflect back and it's like, this is a fun, chaotic, you know, laughable, heartwarming, like there something, it brings an element of this to anybody who I think enjoys just watching movies. And that's what's really cool about this movie, I think, is what I'm really trying to get at. It's just like there's an element to this movie for everybody, and that's everyone can talk about it and, you know, come at it with whatever they want perspective wise, like the way we're talking about it. And I, those are movies, like I said, that I actually do really enjoy, because it's always fun to talk about that kind of stuff and everyone picking out their own little thing of detail, you know, like they like or whatever. So don't forget about the Fat Dragon.
Yeah, the Fat Dragon was good. So one of the funny things I found, like, outside of the film is, so this is something Zach and I talked about with Creed a couple weeks ago, but other than like the Regal mystery movies that are just always packed because it's like a limited time thing and, you know, an upcoming movie and cheaper price, this movie was, I think, busier than anything that I've gone to see since Creed 3. And same thing, it was like teenagers. And I do want to have this conversation at some point about like how movie going looks in a future where, you know, like attention has been so depleted. Because this was another movie like Creed 3 where the younger people in the audience or whatever, and I sound like a curmudgeonly old man even at the ripe old age of 28, but like we're just dicking around the whole movie on their phones and like raising up and down the seats, and just was crazy, like weird experience to go see this movie in that environment. But even something like this that is built to keep your attention the whole time had a hard time to do it. And I'm interested to like see where things like that go for like crowd pleasers. But yeah, like at least this movie is attracting attention to begin with, getting people into the audience, whether they hang in or not. I'm not sure it's exactly what people are expecting from the trailers when they go in. But I think for people that were expecting it to be like kind of niche and very like Dungeons and Dragon-y, it's still worth going to see because it's still fun.
Yeah, I do think it's a bit of a sleeper hit. I think this is going to really find its home when it gets to like VOD and streaming. I'm sure it'll become a lot more popular. Yeah.
Who released this movie? It's not Universal, right? It's,
I'm not sure, because I think they went with the same studio that did Game Night also, right? Which I think was Universal. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but if that's the case, then it'll probably end up on, you know, like Peacock or something at some point. And when it does, I'm sure it's going to find, like you said, like a huge audience, because I think same thing with Game Night. That was a movie that people didn't really know what to make of at the time in theaters. And
this is Paramount, probably on Paramount Plus.
Paramount
then.
Plus, there you go. Yeah, and I just think it's one of those things that, you know, these directors, them, like, and I should probably pull them up and name them.
John Francis Daly and I don't know the other guy.
And Jonathan M. Goldstein. They just know what they're doing. Like, they just are very competent comedy directors. And I think this movie gives some hints that it may be looking towards creating a sequel or future installments of it. And like any movie does these days, like you can't pitch a Dungeons and Dragons movie to Paramount without saying that we are going to make another one.
Yeah. So I think I saw an interview with the directors like on the red carpet at the premiere. And one of the interviewers asked them that question, like, oh, did you do this with a franchise in mind? And their answer was that, of course, they left, you know, things open-ended just in case, and that they would love to do it again, but that it's nothing has actually been greenlit in terms of a sequel or a spinoff or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, of course, even, you know, even for like a Dungeons and Dragons campaign, you always have that big bad who's kind of hiding in the background. And in this case, that it's that the evil wizard from that other, you know, realm again. Sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, the pieces are there, the foundation is there, and I know that even like Chris Pine and like Michelle Rodriguez have both said like they would love to come back.
Right. It seemed like a fun production to be on, but I think it's only really worth, I mean, they're going to do it regardless, I think, but I think it's only really worth doing if they can get this like writing directing team back, because mm-hmm. the reason this movie works is because it's well written and it's well directed and it's funny. And just to milk it for more IP and to bring the like stars back is not worthwhile. And I think that's where all these things fall into trouble, like we were talking about last week, You know, like, what's the motivation for making this movie? Is it to make a good movie, or is it to make more money off of an existing franchise? And
yeah, I think the creative team behind this one is, like you're saying, yeah, probably the most important part. And John Francis Daley actually got his start on Freaks and Geeks, in which his character plays Dungeons and Dragons in the finale of the show. So I imagine he has a history with the game itself too.
Yeah. Just goes to show you, it doesn't hurt to pick Bard if you're playing Dungeons and Dragons, guys. Okay,
underrated. That's the real lesson here.
Bard is a powerful support class for sure.
All right, you want to start round it up for us, Cody?
Give us some bardic inspiration.
Letterbox roundup.
that was a good riff, Cody. Hey, you started off.
This movie I think hits it. In every, you know, checks every box, hits it on the mark, and just a really enjoyable time. And I actually gave this movie 3.5 out of 5 stars.
Nice, Cody. That's a good rating. Zach, you want to go for it?
Yeah, I mean, that's right where I landed too. 3.5. I had a lot of fun with this one. Good time. Definitely a rewatch in the future.
So we have the trifecta here at 3.5 stars. I think we all really enjoyed this movie, so I think we can give it the official Spinning the Reel recommendation.
Absolutely. Cody, what class and race is Evan?
Oh, man. That's such a good question. I feel like Evan, he's got to be like an elf, dude.
I would have went halfly.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know what this means, but okay.
That's a good one, too.
I mean, he could definitely be the bard. He plays ukulele.
Yeah, but that's too, like, heroic. Like, I can't have him be my support class here, dude. He doesn't do anything to support this podcast, so why would I, like, have him be the support class to the video our D&D game?
Cody's the paladin, right?
Oh, I'm 100%
paladin. Who's the one that's not there, like, 90% of the time?
I'm that heroic NPC who only needs to be there 10%.
Comes in to save the day 2 episodes a year.
Yep, there you go.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for this week's episode. A very video game centric, like I said at the top, nerd shit episode. I hope everyone enjoyed it. Zach, where can people find us?
As always, spinningthereel.com, R-E-E-L, where we host wonderful reviews written by mostly Evan and one or two from Cody. As well as links to,
he has the immortal June Squibb t-shirt right
here, so. As well as links to all our episodes, and me personally, you can find me on Letterboxd at painted_dog.
Cody, how about you? Where can people find you and anything else you want to say in the closing minutes here?
I haven't left Twitter, boys. I'm still on Twitter. I'm on Letterboxd. That's all
Elon.
DJ wrote. Yeah, that Elon. All right, I still got it. And what was your other question?
Wanted anything else to say?
Nah, it's all good.
Yeah, I don't have anything new written for this this week, but you know, who knows? Future episodes could be. You can find me on Letterboxd at EvanD26. Please like, subscribe, comment, leave a review, whatever, on any of your podcasting apps. It helps people find us. With that, Cody,
wait,
do you have any last words?
You know what? I do, Evan. I do. And those words, or word, is this. Bye!